Welcome back to the 5 o'clock hour now of the Tom and Curly Show on this Friday edition. Tom Tangney here. Dre's filling in for John. And I love having you on, Dre's. You bring a unique perspective for us, and it's always refreshing and original. I think you're the only guy I know that actually was cheering on Trump's demise in Georgia, but rooting for the Republican candidates to come out. It's like you're your own man.
You're saying I'm a little bit different than John. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And a whole lot more, Dre's. A whole lot more. Speaking of John, that's the one thing, this next story. I kind of wish he was here only so I could kind of, kid him. I'm not going to say I told you so, but because it really was just a hunch. But John was making a lot of hay about the fact that downtown Seattle was entirely boarded up, probably some of Capitol Hill as well, was boarded up, you know, because of those awful leftists going to be trashing the downtown Seattle. And, you know, what did I think of all that? And I told him, John, I actually think it's not going to be as big a problem as you probably are secretly wishing for. That's kind of a slow one, John. But because primarily I thought that Joe Biden would probably win. And because of that, there would be less, you know, rioting in the street, so to speak, to protest it. And son of a gun, if Cairo 7 has now come along and you know, sort of indicated that, yeah, maybe we didn't need the boards after all, or, you know, they certainly may not be needed anymore. Some businesses are starting to take them down. Here's
Workers
Cairo 7.
Down the plywood today outside the store Wayward.
It's a good sign. It's a good feeling.
Across the street, Pamela Morales, the owner of Simple Life, told me she'll probably do the same.
I am thinking to take off this weekend, but I am a little bit worried because I don't know what happened in the future.
Her plywood went up the day before the election. With former Vice President Biden the clear winner, Seattle has not seen post-election protests. Simple Life boarded up twice this year after the store was looted in May.
I keep the boards with me in my home.
You keep the boards at home in case you need them.
Yes.
She says the plywood hurts sales. That's why Simply Seattle opted for glass break sensors instead, even after thefts this summer.
People might be turned off by the plywood.
Exactly, yeah. People see, you know, a souvenir store with plywood on it, they're not going to come in.
Just before the election, we saw a crew installing riot glass downtown. That glass company also puts up plywood. And today told us of the nearly 30 businesses that asked for pre-election plywood, 3 have taken it down.
There's a lot of tension in our society.
Joshua School is senior vice president at the risk advisory and consulting company Allied Universal. He says there remains a threat of civil unrest fueled by misinformation online. I looked him up to ask about the plywood in Seattle.
We're trying to get a sense of when it might be safe to take it down.
It's an excellent question. I think that's the question everybody's trying to ask themselves as they're trying to protect their business. I don't know that any one person, entity, academic or professional intelligence person would give you that assessment.
Okay, so in general, though, they to be fair, they mentioned 3 out of 30, so this is the beginning.
Yeah.
And I do fully acknowledge that I could have egg on my face if there are riots over the weekend or something, but it does feel like that was more a precautionary move than a needed move this time out.
I mean, it was, and it was smart, right? I mean, if Trump would have won, the entire city would have went up. It would have been like, no. It was kind of funny, though, afterwards. There were a few people who tried to go out and protest. And I was kind of like, for what? Like, dude, relax and let's take this victory, man. Relax, have some pie, get some ice cream or something. I don't know, but I'm not joining you right now. I'm going to sit at home and enjoy this count as it slowly comes in and we slowly watch this guy's presidential candidacy end.
Yeah. And to be fair to the Johns of the world who expected protests, I mean, Capitol Hill was not free of these kinds of disruptions. This is primarily focused on the downtown Seattle Downtown Association. So anyway, yeah, we may have dodged a bullet. And I think the right would point out, see, our candidate lost and we didn't riot. So why can't you you know, leftists be as well-mannered as those of us on the right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think we're out the woods? Because, you know, they ask these questions all the time of specialists, right? And it's kind of like, who can tell you? Like, you're asking some guy at the state like he can tell you. He doesn't know. Do you think we're out the woods?
Okay, so here's clearly not. This country, as we mentioned last time, and we got, I think there's 76, 77 million votes, maybe more by now for Joe Biden, 72 million for Donald Trump. Clearly, this country is very divided. Right now, if you look at the red and blue map, because the blue wall returned and we've got these kind of outliers with Arizona and Georgia, it looks like it's a red heart and then blue, you know, kind of icing or on the outside. We are a very, very divided country. And so I do think these tensions will persist. Now, my guess is, and again, this is all you mentioned, you know, all this political speculation. This is pure speculation on my part as well. But my hunch is there's going to be such a relief for those of us who have, you know, felt that Donald Trump was a bad representation for us. And I know we're hearing from lots of, you know, get lots of emails and texts ripping us for being so hateful of Trump and all. But at least for those of us who felt like Trump has been the worst thing that could possibly happen in the White House, there's going to be a chance for us to kind of, we got that one. Okay, good. Now, you know, I think they'll, and that may last for a few months. I'm sure that just like we talked about, one of the, my favorite things I mentioned about election is post-mortem elections. And both Republicans and Democrats have serious things to look at. And I realize, you're not a proponent of either party. So you could, you know, say a pox in both your houses. But Republicans have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, are we a Trump party or are we, is that an aberration? And are we going to return to more GOP roots? But the Democrats have to do the same thing. Right now, most of the progressive Democrats that were not exactly on board with Hillary Clinton got on board with Joe Biden, not because they like Joe Biden much more than Hillary Clinton, but because we, the, our number one thing is to get Donald Trump out of the White House. Right. So they kind of backed off to get Biden in there, and then they're going to come calling and say, listen, you know, if it wasn't for our activism, we wouldn't have generated the number of votes that you had and all this. I mean, no one in his right mind thinks that Joe Biden on his sheer, on his own sheer charisma would get 78 million votes. It had, there
not
had to be some, had to be some activism at the heart of that. And so because of that, I think it may take a few months, but tensions will, you know, rise to the surface. I guess the question go ahead.
So wait, really quickly, in short, if Donald Trump continues kind of this road where he does not concede, does the unrest come back? It does.
No, because I think even if he doesn't concede, he will give way. He is not going to be holed up in the White House. He will give way. Now, I do think he can be he can be a rabble rouser. In fact, I don't think I've made this argument to John yet, but I think talk radio tends to be conservative, and I think talk radio is at its conservative best when they are out of power. I think John's attacks on me were muted a bit when he found himself having to defend Donald Trump. I think it's a much easier stance to be, you know, an angry talk radio host if you are out of power. With Trump out of power, Trump can be the ultimate. He can be, you know, a combination of Rush Limbaugh and, you know, whatever other kind of right-wing, Steve Bannon and white right-wing revolutionaries, and he can shake his fist at the White House. That is a more, you know, a better role for him, I think. And I think if he wants to stay in politics, he certainly can hold sway over the Republican Party. And if he wants to get into media, he can give Fox a run for its money.
Then I might have a future in this because I'm not a part of either party. And so I can just throw stones from right over here as much as I want to. And you know what I mean? This is awesome.
No. That's right. There'll be a role for you. Maybe they will listen. By the way, in fact, this isn't what we were supposed to be talking about, but I just I love the kind of the randomness of our conversations at times. And one of the things that you mentioned that, for instance, you were really I don't know if you use the word pride, but you really liked the fact that African Americans played such a central role in Joe Biden's victory. He was the one who turned it around in South Carolina for him. Otherwise, he wouldn't even have, you know, gotten close to the nomination, even sniffed it. And the fact that they could turn things thanks to the work, you know, of years of Stacey Abrams in Georgia to turn that state blue, at least for Joe Biden. One of the interesting speculations, this is before the election, but how it was an attack on how the two-party system, you know, works in this country. And the suggestion was, and again, I don't want to make you representative of all African-Americans, obviously, but I want to at least throw this out. There was a suggestion from some African-American leader who said, you know, whether things go our way or not, if we, in effect, don't get anything that we want, if things aren't moving in our direction enough, he would seriously call for a boycott, an African-American boycott of Democratic candidates. He says if that happened in one national election, the Democrats would have to change their tune in a second. There was this kind of resentment that the Democrats always rely on and assume and never cater to the black voter.
Yeah.
And if they had actually rallied together, they might have more impact because they realize they are a force to be reckoned with politically. You, as neither a Democrat or a Republican, you could lead that charge.
You know, I'm actually right there. And so I don't think that that's the exact strategy, right? So you start, I would splinter it off a little bit. But in all honesty, I told you I was excited about this election. What I'm probably excited about post-election is this is the first time in my community I really haven't heard us celebrating in terms of like, wow, the Democrats won. We have been across the board, everyone I've spoken to, leaders included, have been saying, okay, time to hold them accountable, right? Like, yeah, we showed up. Accountability time, right? At the end of the day, you're going to show up for us or we'll move on. And so I've always been a proponent of more than a two-party system. I think we need more. It's just like business. It's just great to have more options for people, especially when the parties don't identify with who you are. I say I'm kind of like I'm a liberal Republican, or I'm a conservative Democrat, right? Okay. I'm somewhere in that space where I don't quite feel like I don't identify with this entire party, but there's some really good things on both sides. And how do we stop, listen to each other, and get there? But for African Americans, I think we need to do a couple things. Hold the party accountable. Number two, we need to build relationships with other people of color, Native Americans, Latino communities. The people of color have to start to come together, right? Asian Americans across the board, right? Because now we're all strong and powerful and being able to fuse together and say, well, hey, we have some very similar issues in this country, right? That align in some ways. And so they're not the same. I don't think every community is the same. But for our community, yes, I am. I call this presidential election the last party. This was it. Literally, all of my people was, hey, vote for Biden on your way out the Democratic Party. This is it. Give them one last shot. This is it. Here's our vote. We're out. And now let's stand on the sidelines and say, who wants this vote next time? It can go to the Republicans. I don't really care. I just want change. So if you're willing to actually make things happen, and honestly, in this country, that's the only way things get done. They need an incentive. Washington is just boggled down with so much corruption and money and control and greed, and you know, the drug industry owns it and the food industry owns it and the FDA's bought off, and it's just kind of like, yo, what about the humans, the people? And so I also will say, though, when the things that I think I'm a proponent for African Americans are actually good for everyone. So they're not just like, oh, this black. No, it's like a strong black community is good for everyone. If I got more money, trust me, I'm not just buying black food or whatever that is, black clothing. No, I'm going to buy clothes and food. I'm going to go to a Seahawks game just like you are, right? I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to buy some wine. I like to have a drink with my wife, right? So
yeah,
it's good for everyone. But I'm also for things that help the entire country out. So even when we say criminal justice reform, that helps everyone, right? I mean,
well, I don't know. You know, that's – listen, I love this conversation, but it's so complicated. If you – from an African-American perspective on the role of the police and systemic racism within the police has strong resistance from most of our listeners, I would guess, right now on Cairo. And I think it would be hard to thread a needle in which you could get – systemic racism even acknowledged, let alone dealt with, if more than half of the population doesn't even, you know, buy it or believe it. So I think
we're going the wrong way. We're just going about it the wrong way, right?
Oh, I mean, good.
The approach has been wrong, right? I'm the other guy. I don't want to defund the police. I didn't like the idea. I heard it the first time. I was like,
common ground.
Right? Like, so come on. Like, yes, there needs to be reform. Yes, there's a problem, right? But the problem is holistic. Let's start by looking at the goal. What do we want, right? We could get a lot more traction if we really start talking about rehabilitation of humans. When we start talking about getting people their rights back, there's so many other areas where we could get inroads, and then we can double back and clip off these other areas later. So, you know.
Okay. I hear the traffic, but I want to get one last little question in there. There was some hay made of the fact that Trump made some inroads. I mean, again, I think it's like under 20%, but still inroads with black men, with African-American men. He got, can you explain that in like 60 seconds?
It's as quick as I can. And from what I know, it's not everyone, but a lot of people don't. A lot of African-American men like myself are afraid of the Democratic Party, right? They're afraid of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And so, unfortunately, which I think is their mistake, they're willing to put aside his rhetoric, right? His rhetoric and the way he acts and kind of go, well, he made a deal to give us some money, right? And which, you know, to me is tap dancing. But, you know, it happens. They fell for the banana in the tailpipe. I didn't. He's gone. And, they're welcome at the cookout, too, so...
Perfect. Okay, and we still have a more show to do, Drays. That's great. Okay, Tracy, sorry to make you wait. How are we looking out on the roads? I notice it's dark outside. This hour of the Tom and Curley Show, brought to you by Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Lake Washington Windows and Doors bringing you this 5 o'clock hour of the Friday edition of the Tom and Curley Show. I'm Tom Tangney. Drays is filling in for John, who will be back next week. And by the way, we're not going to have a know-it-all contest because John isn't here, but we do have a prize. So listen up, everybody. Today, someone's going to win a $75 gift card for the Seahawks Pro Shop. Be the fourth caller right now at 1-888-973-5476. Don't let the cold weather take away your holiday cheer. The Pro Shop has your back with the largest selection of Seahawks cold weather gear. Shop at your nearest Pro Shop location and find extended holiday hours at Seahawks.com/Pro Shop. That number again, 1-888-973-5476, 1-888-973-5476. For a $75 gift card for the Seahawks Pro Shop. Be the fourth caller, and good luck to you all. Okay, so this is the Tom and Curley Show. Drays is filling in. We often like to take advantage of our guest hosts by zeroing in on an arena or area that they have some expertise in that we might not normally have access to. Oftentimes with Felix Bonnell, we get into some ridiculous historical examination of something or other. But we've got a nice little segment here put together by Jacob that deals with the world of music and all of its, variations. And I don't know, I'm willing to kind of take your lead, Drace. We have a really fascinating article about why don't people that play the piano know anything about the pianos themselves. They always have to bring in technicians to make the pianos work. And isn't that odd? Because everybody else who plays an instrument most likely ends up carrying their own and, you know, can fix all sorts of things about their instrument. Another story about some groundbreaking news, I suppose, about Baby Shark. And then I also have a piece of music that you've written for something or other that Jacob just to push my way. What order would you like to discuss any and all of the three topics?
Let's go Baby Shark, because I wish I wrote Baby Shark.
Okay, well, in case there are one or two of you who haven't heard it before, here's what it sounds like. It goes like this. Okay. So, a Right now, people are either turning us off or cursing us, and maybe both because of that earworm. But the reason it's in the news is it's the first kid song ever to go diamond, which means it's bigger than a gold album. It's bigger than a platinum. It's gone diamond. It's been 7 billion hits on YouTube. It's been played 7 billion times. And other streaming metrics. It's a South Korean entertainment company named Pinkfong that put it to work, and it's now the most successful kids song in the history of the world. And I, in our pre-show meeting, because I knew this was a song that was coming up, I asked Dre's, is it so? As a musician, as someone who works in the industry, does Baby Shark drive you nuts? Or is there a kind of, you know, grudging admiration? And I think the answer is more to the latter than the former.
You know what? Again, I'm a purist. I love, like, real hip-hop, real rock and roll, real blues, jazz, real music. Uh-huh. But because I'm also a writer, you know, I now have an appreciation for the bubblegum fact that somebody wrote this song. And it might be low-key jealousy, because I'm like, I wish I wrote this little jingle, Diamond. For people don't know, Diamond is 10 million albums, man. That's okay, a lot
that right?
of sales
okay.
for yeah. one song. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if there was no monetary you know, connection to it, though, would you, like, let's just say that this was, like, in my deep dive research, I watched an interview done. I think the woman or young woman, she looked like she might be mid-teens, who sang the song. She didn't get much money. I mean, she got like a one-time fee. It was like one of a bunch of things that Pinkfong gave her. So she didn't make a fortune off it. Now, having said that, if you wrote it, let's say you were given, I don't know, you know, like a couple hundred bucks to write it, and it became this worldwide phenomenon, so there wasn't a monetary aspect that you were kind of jealous of, would you still like to take credit for that? Or is it just the remuneration that makes it worth writing?
Wow, so much here. Number one, if I didn't have anything to do with it and there's no monetary, get this trash out of here. Get it out. I don't want to hear it. You know, maybe play it for some kids or something. That's fine. I get it. The kids need something. But no. But in all honesty, the way it works, just to give people some context and perspective, is there's something called a buyout, right? Essentially, I could come to you and say, Tom, I need you to perform on this song. Here is $500. Mm-hmm. You get on the song. It's a buyout. We pay you for your time. We pay you for your talent, for everything. And we own everything. You can take it or you can leave it. Right. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, when I first got into television and movie writing, that's what happened. They came to me and they said, we want to do a buyout. And I was like, I knew it's a crappy deal. I'm like, this is not a good deal, right? And they're like, do you want it or not? And some friends said, do it. But they said, but do an amazing job. And so I like killed this song. And when it was over, they came back and they said, we don't want a buyout. We're going to give you all your money and we're going to give you your publishing, which essentially means as the writer, you'll get to eat off of what you write, right? And that opened the door for me in this world. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good professional tip. So then does that give any context to what this 43-second clip that Jacob has of you? What is this that he is so pushed forward?
So one of my friends, Angela Rye, political analyst from CNN, she reached out to me and said, hey, I got this show I'm doing with Tidal, which is the streaming service owned by Jay-Z, and the show was called The Main Thing. And she's like, I need a song called The Main Thing. Can you write something? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, right? And yes, I get to own all of my stuff, but I got to tap one of Seattle's best producers, Vitamin D. I wanted to make this all Seattle. Angela's from Seattle. I'm from Seattle. Vitamin D's from Seattle. So we created this single, and her first episode, I know, had like Snoop Dogg. And so she's interviewing all these different celebrities and people about politics and voting and all that different stuff. So,
and this is like the title music that introduces the podcast then?
This is it actually plays in the background. Yeah, it introduces the show, the show's video, as well as, obviously, it's converted into a podcast as well.
Okay.
So this is the theme song for it.
Let's hear it. That's how I greet them, because this is how I see them. What are we facing? Sometimes a salutation is akin to freedom. Black women say it's a glass ceiling. I believe them. 45 creeping, I peep them. How in the hell are we screaming the first black anything in 2020? This swag ain't on me, it's in me. The ancestors is with me, though they built and cherished her. And I ain't inherit her. Black comes in different hues, so I too sing America. The main thing, the main thing. For this trial, whether sun or rain. Black mothers, black fathers, black sons and black daughters. Black love, black culture, black music, black scholars. We the main thing, the main thing. No peace in these streets, yeah, they feel our pain. That's, what the hell are you wasting your time on our show for? That's great. And now, is that a piece of music that would not have existed if Angela hadn't come to you and asked you for that?
Yeah, it absolutely would not have existed.
That's so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
That, I mean, because you create, you know, out of whatever, you know, wellspring of creativity you have. But if someone else asks you to direct in a certain direction, you can do it. And yeah, and that's as true to you as anything that would have come without her request, I assume, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a 48-hour period, so you're given a small window where we go, what's the topic? What do you want it to be about? And then it's like 48 hours, so I hit vitamin D because I knew he could deliver, because you need the beat to be hot too, right? And it's like everything has to come together, really, boom, 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 boom. And so, yeah, it's exciting, but at this point, we're kind of used to it. My team is used to delivering these types of things. Now, I haven't quite been able to make the little shirt. But it's coming. It's coming.
That's right. It's the main thing. Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. Dre is filling in for John, who will be back next Monday. Now's the favorite time of the show. We look over the horizon to see if there's a mailman for us.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Okay, so from one artist to a next, I heard through the grapevine that you're not a big fan of our mailman song, but we are, so you'll just have to lump it, I guess, Dre's.
Yeah, let's say like the Baby Shark song better than the Mailman song. How about that?
fair enough. We'll take it. Okay, so why don't you start us off with the letters, Dre's?
All right. So we are talking here about, sorry, I had to pull mine up. Letters from the 425 about John's absence. Is Curly's eye okay?
Yes, I just wanted to, I realized we should answer. And his absence today actually had nothing to do with his eye, that it was pre-scheduled doctor's appointments.
Okay.
No, actually, he and I got into a little scuffle a couple of days ago. Don't worry, he'll be back soon.
And 206, OMG, John out again? What? He can't work from home with one eyeball? So I'm sure he'll have a good story for whatever the doctor tells him, regardless of whether it involves his eye or not, come Monday.
On the travel advisory and Oregon restrictions in the 206, there's no stick, and I just backed out of being a guest at Thanksgiving. I'll spend it alone instead of with seven friends. Stay safe. Don't overload the hospitals. Take care.
Wow. What a nice, reasonable response that is in 206. Sorry, guys. You're wrong. We got 24 hours notice to close our restaurant last March. Not adequate notice from Jay Inslee, as you just mentioned. That I'm sure that's right. That March did hit us heavier. I think that it was his staging when we were in different stages that he kind of gave us a warning. Well, we may have another stage to jump into next week. Okay, fair enough.
All right, from the 425. So, when do we blame Jay for all the COVID cases? He certainly blamed Trump. All right, touche. I guess. And
area code 206. 9 months in, 248 deaths out of 822,000 population in Snohomish County. Panic! Not really meaning so.
All right. Eric in Bothell. Hi, guys. I hope to not make this sound self-serving, but all things COVID are quite real to me. I've had 3 hospital visits since the end of April in 2020 and am a candidate for another to correct a partially blocked carotid artery. I've been tested for COVID twice. The more people that become afflicted with COVID, the more the medical facilities become overwhelmed. My daughter, an RN at Providence, will attest to this. The number of those who come down with COVID in the next few weeks will not only adversely affect them, but it may delay the treatment. I and so many others need do what the health of professionals recommend for the sake of all of us. Go Hawks.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from area code 206. Stop with the baby shark. OMG. I wear headphones all day listening to you guys, so I don't have to hear this. Sorry. I hope Dre's is the main thing made up for it, though. It's been a blast of Dre's. I hope we can do it soon some other time.
Likewise, man. Salute. Everybody, please stay safe and go Hawks.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't ride no more.
We got another hour.
The gloom hanging round my front door.